Today's scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 11. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Praise be to God for Jesus coming, because it changed a whole lot. It really did. It changed a whole lot about the structure of worship. It changed a lot about how things were accomplished and what things went on. It changed a great deal. More so than we realize sometimes, because a lot of people don't spend a lot of time reading the book of Leviticus. It's not what I would consider one of the most exciting biblical books, because most of it contains rules and regulations for how priests are to operate the temple, the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, the incense, the offerings that must come time and time again. Where I am in my biblical reading right now is about every fourth day, I'm reading from the book of Leviticus. The book reading program that I follow has you read a part of the Old Testament. It has you read one of the Psalms. It has you read part of a gospel and part of one of the letters of Paul. And instead of trying to do all four of those things in one day, I split it up so that I'm doing a smaller piece each day. The book of Leviticus is rule after rule after rule after rule after rule that I'm glad as a pastor I don't have to keep all of that straight and how to do all of that. Because it tells what must happen when somebody is guilty of sin and what kind of offerings they need to bring. And if they are able to, they are to bring a lamb, and they are also to bring a dove, and they are also to bring a grain offering and an oil offering. And the priest is to accept those, and then it gives rules and regulations on how to do every one of those things. And if they're poor people, then they're allowed to bring this and this and this and this. And if it's for this, then this is what they do. If it is for this, then this is what they do. It is page after page after page of how and what to bring as an offering for all kinds of different things. And many of the things that we don't want to even talk about. I can't imagine being a priest in that day and age. Every day sacrificing animals for people bringing things for sin, for a need for cleansing, for I don't think there's enough animals in this county for what people might need to bring. I really don't think there is. And growing up as a beach bum, I don't think I would be into sacrificing animals every day, all day. That was news. It wasn't news to me, but it was kind of interesting when I was in Kenya and the lady's house that we were staying at, we were told to call her Mama, by the way. She was the same age as me, but Mama told me when I was going to bed, when I was getting up, when I was taking a bath, when I was going to eat, when I was going somewhere with her to go grocery shop. Mama told me everything, okay? She was a sweet, sweet, sweet lady. And I remember one day she asked me, she said, we were there for the whole weekend, and the first night we had had beef for dinner. And I guess I have to tell you, they didn't have a refrigerator. So she asked, she said, what would you like to have for dinner? Some more of that beef that we had the other night? And I'm thinking, no, I'll pass on that. And she said, how about chicken? I said, that's great with me. And then here comes the 8-year-old boy that has the chicken by the legs. And the little puppies in their compound are trying to bite the wings off the chicken as he's dragging it along. And I go around the corner of the building, and Bob, who was staying there with me, Bob says, what's going on around there? And I said, Bob, you might want to stay around here for a little bit. Not something as a beach bum that I knew how to do. I know where chicken comes from, but I can clean fish, but I don't know about cleaning a chicken. And I can't imagine that as a priest every day, because it gives you instructions on this is what goes on the fire to be burned up. This is what is roasted and is eaten by the family. This is what is roasted and eaten by the priest. This is what, and the rest of it has to go to a clean place outside town to be buried. It just goes on and on and on. But everything changed when Christ came as our high priest. All of that changed. And it all changed drastically. It all changed drastically. For you see, those sacrifices that were made before, those sacrifices were for an outer cleansing. That's what the scripture says. They were for an outer cleansing, which had to be done again and again and again and again. I may bring my sin offering today, and if I sin tomorrow, I need to bring another offering. And if I sin the day after, I need to bring another offering. And the day after, and that's why I say, I don't think there's enough animals in this county for the people that live in this county if we were to live by these old instructions that are found in the book of Leviticus. Because, I don't know about you, but at some point during the day, I probably do something that's considered sin. Most of the time, not by my plan. I just happen to say something the wrong way to somebody. I just happen to do something wrong. And it's not always by me commissioning that. Sometimes it's a sin of omission. But you see, these sacrifices had to be done time and time again. When Christ came, Christ offered more than animals. Christ offered more than animals. Christ offered his perfect self. Christ offered his perfect self. You see, Christ stepped away from heaven. This, as I sit and take some time to think about this and meditate and ponder over this, Christ did leave behind all of his rights and privileges. He walked away from them. And he said, I'm going to come and live upon this earth. And first off, as he came to live upon this earth, he came as a child who needed other people's help. Now, when I ponder that, God came as a child and needed other people's help. That just right there kind of gets me. That God chose to do that. And to walk on this earth as we walk, and other places in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that he suffered, that he was tempted in all the same ways that we are tempted. And that's why he can be our high priest. And the scripture also tells me that he never sinned. He was perfect. He knew how to live in the right way every time, no matter what was happening to him. He offered his perfect self. That's what he offered. That's why there is no other sacrifice that can save us. Because he was the only perfect one. I know of people that believe if I live rightly and I do good things and my good things balance out and are heavier than my bad things, God must accept me. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that you need to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Both. And for me, I get a great understanding of this from the book of Hebrews. A great understanding of this. You see, I need to accept that the offer that Jesus Christ made on the cross was perfect, was once for all, was for me. And that righteousness of Christ as he lived here upon this earth can be placed upon me so that God sees me as righteous. God chooses to clothe me with that if I want to be clothed with it. And when I am, then God says, you are one of my heirs. You are one of those who will inherit the kingdom of God. You are a sister or a brother to Jesus Christ. That's when you become fully a child of God. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's when that happens. Now, to accept Christ as your Savior for me was the first thing I did when I came to Christ. Jesus, I want you to cleanse me. I want you to make me whole. I want to be forgiven by what you did on the cross for me. The sad thing is, that's the only decision a lot of people ever make. You also need to make the decision that Jesus is your Lord. For me, that was a decision that happened about 7 to 8 years after my first decision. Some of you were fortunate enough to make that same decision for both things at the same time. I didn't. I wanted to be saved. I wanted eternal life. I wanted to be cleansed. I wanted to be forgiven. I wanted to be made whole. But when I first did that, I did not accept Christ as my Lord. Now, well, you might ask, what's the difference? To accept Jesus Christ as your Lord means that you will follow Christ when Christ asks you to do something. It means that you will never look at Christ and go, no, that's not something I want to do. No, that's out of my comfort zone. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, I really think it's almost impossible to say no. Now, have I said no at points in time of my life? Yep. As I like to say, I done did that. And I done did that more than once. Nope, I got this one, God. I don't need you. Boy, that's a silly thing to say, isn't it? God, I don't need you. I got this one. You got other things to do. You see, when I make Jesus as Lord, I'm willing to follow him anywhere he goes. And I'm willing to participate in anything he asks me to participate in. I'm willing to be committed. I'm willing to take a big step, even when I don't know if my foot's going to land on something solid. Maybe you know a gospel story like that. Do you know a gospel story like that where some brash, loudmouth individual stepped out of a boat? Do you know that story? And as he walked closer to Jesus and realized what he was doing, what happened to Peter? He went down, and the Lord had to lift him up. Sometimes Peter is he is my most favorite gospel person. Peter is the only person I know that can shove both feet into his mouth, up to the knee, still walk, and still talk. Well, we need to find him as a best friend sometimes, don't we? Because sometimes I say things that just should not be said when I'm talking with the Lord. But Peter had no embarrassment about asking those questions. We all love to have a person around like that, don't we? Because I want to ask the question, but Peter, hey, ask this question. Christ was the only one that was perfect. He says to his disciples on his last night in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. No one. You see, this new offering was different. This new offering was an internal cleansing that happened once for all. It was an internal cleansing now. It was not an outernal cleansing that had to be done over and over and over again. If we were still under that system, I'd be bringing a cow to church every day. I don't need no little goat or little sheep or lamb or a bird. I need a cow. I need to sacrifice something big every day. Thank God that Jesus Christ died for our sins once for all. Once for all. What an incredible thing. He was a perfect sacrifice. He paid for my sins. Now I can be, what did we just sing? There's power where? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's why he's called the Lamb. And when you read the book of Revelation, you see pictures about this slain Lamb that comes in triumph. Don't ever be fearful of reading the book of Revelation. Please, don't ever be fearful. It's a book that was meant for encouragement. It was not meant to preach fire and brimstone. It was meant for encouragement. Read it that way. Go and read that book. I guess you might say it's like reading the last chapter in a mystery. You find out the end of the story. You find out who wins. You find out who stands proud and tall. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, there's a little bit of a misunderstanding sometimes, I think, Maybe it exists around the world. I don't know. I'm not very familiar about it, but I know that it exists sometimes for American Christians. And so that's all I can speak for. I can't speak for Christians from other countries. We have this idea that religion and my belief in God is all about me. It's all about me being saved, me being cleansed, me being forgiven. It's all about what can I get out of it? It's all about what can I accomplish? What's in it for me? That's not the idea of Scripture, folks. That is not the idea of Scripture. Me and I and mine. That's not the idea of Scripture. Yes, when I come to Jesus Christ and accept Him as my Savior and my Lord, I am given eternal salvation. And I very firmly believe it from Scripture that my salvation cannot be taken away from me. I believe that from Scripture. And if sometimes you want to see the Scriptures that I stand on, I'll be glad to share those with you. I do not believe that I can lose my salvation. I do believe that I can lose rewards by not living properly and living the way God wants me to live. Not that I care about the rewards, really. Think about that. If I get to go to heaven and live forever with God, you can keep everything else. I don't need it. I don't want it. And guess what? I don't even need or want answers to all my questions. If I get to live in the presence of God face to face for all of my rest of the years, which is forever, by the way, is what Scripture says. You can keep my mansion in heaven. You can keep the gold streets. You can keep all the fruit that comes off the trees that I can eat. Just to be with God for all eternity. That's wonderful, isn't it? But that is not the only reason that Jesus Christ died for you. That is not the only reason that Jesus Christ died for you. I want to read part of this passage again so that you can hear this. Starting in verse 13. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Did you hear the so that? So that we may serve the living God. It's not just about my salvation. It's about me serving in the kingdom of God where God wants me to. Christ did this so that we could live our lives in service to God. Christ did this so that we could live our lives in service to God. Do you see that? It's not just about what I get out of this. It's not just about what benefits I get, what blessings I get, what enormous things I get. It's not about that. It's about serving God. Now, I don't know how you define the word service, but I'm pretty sure a bump on a log doesn't do much service for anybody. A bump on a log is a bump on a log. Well, it might do service to the turtle that sits on the bump, right? or the frog that sits on the bump. Service is an active thing. Service is a committed thing. Service is something that says, I make this a priority in my life. This before other things. You see, we have a world that's lost, that does not know Jesus Christ. Large sections of the world don't even have anybody to tell them about Jesus Christ. One of the books that I learned about, that I had, first time I'd ever heard about it in my life, through this God on Mute unanswered prayer course that we're doing right now, sitting on the bookshelf downstairs. It's called Operation World. It has every country in the world in that book and what you could pray for them about. It's about yay thick. It has dates at the bottom of the page so that you can go through it page by page, day by day, and pray for the different countries of the world. Now, I know some of you don't want to buy a book that big, that thick, that heavy. Guess what I found out? They got an app that you can put on your phone. You don't have to buy the book, and the app is free. And you can find out every day what you can pray for different countries around the world. And the thing that has been eye-opening to me is how many of these countries have no strong church and no people reaching out for Jesus Christ. People are not serving the kingdom of God. I would recommend the app to you so you can learn about some of these countries and how to best pray for them. It has been really eye-opening. I can't believe that somebody put that amount of information all together, because it's incredible. It really is. I want to ask you this, though. Because I know most of you, and I know that you have already received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Has your internal cleansing led to a deep and committed service of God? Has your internal cleansing, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you, led to a deep and committed service of God? How would you answer that question? The book of Hebrews says what? It was not just for eternal salvation that God saved us. The death of Jesus Christ was so that we may serve the living God. And I can simply ask this in another way. I know sometimes in the church we talk about giving a tithe. And oftentimes when the church talks about that, we talk about how much money you give to the church and to the ministries that are performed here at the church. But I'm not going to talk about that. Do you tithe of your time to the kingdom of God? There's 168 hours in the week. Do you tithe of your time to give to God? So this internal cleansing that has happened for you, has it led to a deep and a committed service of God? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and first want to admit to you that quite often we fail you. Maybe we design good. Maybe we think and plan good. Maybe we have good purposes, but sometimes we let things get in the way. Lord, it's very obvious from Scripture that you not only sent Jesus Christ to be our sacrifice so that we could have salvation, but you also sent him that we might serve you. Help each one of us to search our hearts, to see in what ways we can better be of service to your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.